League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass, and it's a Friday edition of the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. 2 minutes, 17 seconds late, we have a new record. We have a new record on the latest that we started our show since the Killer G's.
Well, you know, it's a different chemistry now, so with a different leader, maybe you could blame it on the fact that they're still adjusting.
Could be. I don't know what the. I don't want to know how the sausage is made. I'm just telling you, a new record has been set. We have a record, 2 minutes and 17 seconds, starting the show late, which is fine. I don't get paid by the minute, so I'm totally okay with it. If they want to go 5 minutes late, that's even better. Astros won a baseball game yesterday. Really nice to see that. Spencer Arrighetti was fantastic. Call me crazy. Six shutout innings, strikes out a career high 8. Fantastic job for Spencer Arrighetti. He was just swell, just tremendous, just really, really good. Am I crazy?
Yes.
Am I crazy? But I really like this Astros rotation right now. And I know that, you know, you have to stay healthy because if you have an injury, I guess you're going to this Eric Lauer guy who's been getting shelled in Sugarland. You really don't have anything behind the starting five. But the starting five that the Astros have right now, I like it. I like it. Justin Verlander's been vintage Verlander lately. Yes, Framber Valdez is a wild horse, but Framber Valdez is usually going to have good starts. Ronel Blanco's been the biggest surprise, I think, in the pitching staff for the Houston Astros, and there's been several surprises. Seth Martinez really well, pitched really well. Taylor Scott's a big surprise, but Ronel Blanco is the biggest surprise. Sure. Might be one of the biggest surprises in all of baseball when it comes to the pitching side of things. Hunter Brown has been really good since he added the sinker into his repertoire. He's got a 3.42 ERA in his last five appearances. And Spencer Arrighetti's pitched really well in five of his last six starts. Going with his last four starts, he's 3-1 with a 3.63 ERA. Am I crazy that I actually like the Houston Astros rotation right now?
No, if you like it, I think more power to you. I'm pleased with where they are. I talked about this yesterday. My big thing with Arrighetti is I want to keep seeing this because I want to see things I haven't seen before. I want to see him, you know, get more experience because he's never been in the playoffs before, the postseason either, or in, you know, really highly stressful games. But he's definitely gotten, like, he's established himself. He's now got his feet wet to where he doesn't look kind of like he gets rattled or out of sorts. He's got better control. That game yesterday was fantastic, and it was against a good team. It wasn't against the lesser than. But other than that, I mean, he's the guy I'm watching. But for the rest of the rotation, you know, you wonder what they're going to do when they have six, or if Lauer's going to be a guy that's going to be another one and done that just makes an appearance when they need a guy. But the fact is that the top guys are still there no matter who's coming back, who's hurt. If you got two guys that are going to be out and two guys that are going to come back at some point along the way, the guys that you're utilizing consistently seem to be guys that can get it done. Right now, we talked about yesterday, the fact that the pitching staff almost overall, with the exception of Ryan Pressly, has been really good lately.
Yeah, they've been really, really stinking good. And, I mean, if Arrighetti's getting playoff experience, that means things are going really well. So I would say that if, like, Arrighetti's getting playoff experience, that means that Arrighetti had a really good regular season and really good final two-thirds of the year. Yeah, I like where they're at. I know it sounds crazy. And look, beating the Mariners' offense isn't very good. Yes, they're a good team, but their offense has some pretty big weaknesses. But Arrighetti's actually been, other than the Yankee start, he's actually been pretty good for like the last month and a half. So that's promising. Like, we mock Dana Brown for saying that Spencer Arrighetti, if he gets enough innings and gets enough appearances, that he's going to be in the mix for AL Rookie of the Year. Like, that was egregious. That was, you know, a bit hyperbolic, which Dana Brown can be a bit hyperbolic at times. But I feel really confident saying that Spencer Arrighetti can fill a starting spot in a big league rotation, and I think he could be a number four or number five this year for a team who makes the playoffs. I feel good about where he's at. Hunter Brown, I feel good with the adjustments that he's made. Mm-hmm. Yes, his overall numbers still aren't very good, and yes, you like want to like to feel safer, you need to see him continue to do it. But I like the way that this this pitching staff's coming together. Now, The negative is you have zero room for injury. You have zero room for struggle. If Arrigetti regresses and he's back to being like first four start Arrigetti, well, you have no choice. You have nobody to like take his spot. Same thing with Hunter Brown. Like we were talking about, when you get healthy, if everybody stays healthy, Hunter Brown might be pitching in Sugarland. You can't do that anymore because there's nobody knocking on the door. The only two that would be knocking on the door, Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers, and they're not expected back until mid-July.
Yeah, and you're thinking, you know, you're thinking the worst, though you want to try and stay optimistic about the chances of Urquidy coming back this year at all. And it looks like the Javier situation is very dicey at best as well. So now, instead of having these eight or so guys that you can pick and choose from and then find the four or five best ones coming down the stretch and then probably trim it down a little bit from there for the playoffs, you're basically kind of putting all your eggs in the basket of the guys that you're currently watching. And like you said, one, if not both of those guys coming back at some point to fortify some part of the rotation or the pitching staff, because they got to get stretched out. They got to, you know, they got to get innings in, and then you got to make a determination of, are they going to be good enough and ready enough to be down the stretch and possible playoff starters? Or are they going to have to fill a different role on your staff? There's still options to make this pitching staff even better, but from a starting rotation standpoint, I think you pretty much know who you have and who you have to choose from for the rest of the regular season. With maybe, again, if you go to six man,
what's I don't think they're going six man. I don't think they can. What would make this pitching staff better?
Well, I mean, for one, you got to get more consistency mentally and otherwise from Framber Valdez. I mean, he's got to be a guy that can't be the roller coaster for the song that we play for him. He's got to be able to kind of harness the mental side of it. He's got to get back to more of the guy that has been a dominant pitcher in this league for a while, and give you less opportunity to have worries that it could all come crumbling down very quickly. Verlander, again, another guy made adjustments, but Verlander looks like he's on top of his game right now. If Blanco keeps doing what he's doing, like I said, the biggest thing for me is that we keep seeing these kind of starts from Brown and Arrigetti, and then, you know, I would easily be along with you in the fact that it's an above average, very, very good staff. I heard Joe say that Seattle might have the best staff in baseball. They're good. I mean, I don't know if they're that good.
Who's better?
I mean, across baseball?
Sure. I think the Mariners are up there. I think their starting rotation may be the best. Yeah, I don't have like
without Strider. I mean, the Braves at the start of the year looked pretty good. Sales resurrected his career.
He's out. I mean, he's not. That's what I'm saying, without Strider in the beginning, but you could include them, right?
But I'm saying before the season started, I was looking at them as probably the best staff in baseball. But yeah, I mean, the Mariners have a really, really good staff. I don't know that I would put the Astros up that high, but I think the Astros are an upper echelon staff if they keep getting what they're getting out of Brown and Arrigetti.
And those are the X factors. Like those guys have, because I mean, we make fun of the inconsistencies of Framber Valdez. He's a wild horse. But Framber Valdez is pretty steady. Like, Framber Valdez is going to usually give you a quality start. He's usually going to pitch you deep into the game. He's usually going to have you competitive. Is he going to have a blow-up every now and then? Yes. Is he going to go rogue every now and then? Yes. Verlander is going to give you some steadiness. It seems like Ronel Blanco, who's pitching tonight, is going to give you some steadiness. Hunter Brown, Spencer Arrigetti in their last four or five starts have given you that steadiness. You need them to continue to do that, and you have to stay healthy. But I like where this starting five is at. Now, everybody on the Twitch channel, I love their offense. Yeah, the offense hasn't been going. Now, is that a product because they were playing the Mariners, arguably one of the best pitching staffs in baseball, or did their offense just go silent? It's probably a combination of the both. You're not going to like the lineup today. I'll just go ahead and say that. Lineup just dropping for the Astros. Ronel Blanco, 5-0, 1.99 ERA. Been fantastic. He goes toe-to-toe with Pablo Lopez, who always feels like he's a better pitcher than his numbers indicate. He's 4-5 with a 5.25 ERA, but a way better pitcher than that. The Astros are giving Jeremy Peña a day off, which I think it's the first time he's had a day off all year, so good. He needs a day off, and he had a terrible series against Seattle, getting slider, slider, sweeper, slider, sweeper, slider, slider. They exposed him a little bit. So I like that he's getting the day off. I think Altuve should get one tomorrow. But Altuve, Tucker, Yordan DHs. Bregman is back in the cleanup spot. Myers, Singleton, Dubon plays short, Chaz in left, and then Yiner Diaz in center field. So no Jose Abreu. No Jose Abreu against the righty Pablo Lopez.
Don't want to boo him the first night back.
Maybe he's hurt.
Well, that's right.
Maybe he's hurt.
That's right. We were talking about that, the way he came up a little lame going around first base. Maybe that's a blessing in disguise for all parties involved, and that he can sit down for a while and that you got the excuse you needed so you don't have to force feed him to us and the team and everybody else that actually just wants to see this team have the best lineup out there to win.
Yeah, that's it's good. It's good that we don't see Jose Abreu today. But if he doesn't land on the IL, I imagine we'll see him tomorrow.
Your boy, you've been highlighting how good he's been when he's not in the top four, and now he's back at cleanup.
Yeah, I don't think you have a choice today, though.
Because Penny's out.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really, like, I don't love that Bregman's in the cleanup spot, but who are you going to put there? Like, unless you're going to do something drastic to this lineup, which it doesn't seem like a spot is going to do these drastic changes. This is one example of, oh, you know, an analytical, progressive manager, he's going to be different. He's really not. Dusty was the king of whenever there's one, you know, like, you're giving a guy a day off, he would just have the guy that was replacing the guy with the day off in his spot in the lineup because he wanted them to get comfortable in that spot of the lineup. It doesn't look like a spot is going to budge from Altuve, Tucker, Yordan. So if that's your top three and you're not willing to do like Myers in the top two spots or Dubon in the top two spots, you really don't have another option to bat cleanup. Like Myers is batting fifth. You're batting Myers cleanup?
No.
So I don't think that you really had an option. Now you could get creative and maybe try to squeeze Dubon in between Altuve and Tucker. Maybe you try to squeeze Myers in between Altuve and Tucker. Tucker three, Yordan four. If you want Yordan in the three hole, you move Tucker to the four spot. But it doesn't seem like Joe Espada is that progressive manager that we thought he was going to be.
Nope, no, not at all. And it's been something that's been an eye opener for a lot of folks. A lot of people are already calling for his head, but at the same time, you didn't know until you saw him out there and see what how he was going to do his business. And we also didn't know he was going to end up being one of the biggest puppets on the planet in terms of, you know, what he's dealing with above him. Obviously, not by choice. So it's been a work in progress of learning day in, day out of how he's going to do it, Dana's going to do it, what they're going to do, the lineups they're going to put out, who's making those decisions. I just hope that getting home right now, they can start figuring out, and maybe that Abreu won't be in the lineup for a while, so they can put a better offensive lineup out there starting probably tomorrow when Peña comes back.
You think Abreu's in the lineup tomorrow?
I don't.
You don't think he's in the lineup tomorrow?
I don't.
Really?
Because I think there might be something legit to the injury, or at least they'll use it as an excuse, and they won't play him. Because I think that they are looking at the fact that at home, they know he's inevitably going to get booed. But I think he might have done him a favor, and if he gets hurt, they can sit him down for a while.
Yeah, I –
Was he 1-for-9?
Yeah, I just think they're going to – force feed us. They're going to force – now, if he's injured, then that's a different story. And maybe they can, you know, make a case for that. That would be cool. Now, you know, Abreu's not going to go down quietly. Now, if that's the case, all right. But I think that they're going to force feed us Jose Abreu for an extended period of time, unless there is an injury. 713-780-ESPN. TK, voice of the Astros on the shin, Todd Callis. He'll be joining us later on in the program from Minute Maid Park. We'll get into some of the Texans OTA stuff, what matters, what doesn't matter in OTAs, and some of the things that we're hearing coming out of OTAs. It's a Who Said It Friday. It's also all the mean things you say to us. Mean texts later on in the program as well. But when we come back, we talked about this is your starting rotation unless there's an injury until the middle of summer. The only reinforcements that are on the way, Lance McCullers, which how much stock are you putting in that? Luis Garcia off of TJ, he's throwing a bullpen today. How much stock do you put in that? But which pitcher are you most eager to get back for this Astros rotation, Lance or Luis? 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN Houston on YouTube. Blankers is at Pac Mangel on Twitter. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925. Bees on ESPN975, ESPN925. Thank goodness no Abreu in the lineup today. How long do you think the leash is for him going forward? What do you think is the leash? Let's assume he's healthy.
I mean, it's probably shorter than when we talked about this previously, but I think they're going to find a way to keep him on the roster through June.
Mm-hmm. That's about where I'm at.
Yeah.
That's about where I'm at. If it's just really, really bad, maybe like 2 to 3 weeks. But that's extremely aggressive. I'm with you. I think it's through the month of June. Plus, if you want to believe in the back of the baseball card, Jose Abreu does heat up a little bit in the summer. So, like, maybe you try to see if that happens.
So he hits 200?
That would be twice as good.
Yes, indeed it would.
7557 would make this pitching staff better. A lockdown eighth inning stud. Starters are fine. I agree with the starters being fine. Now, if you have an injury, then it totally flips that conversation. I would push back, and I agree that like another reliever on this team would be cool. I'm not trading a whole lot for it. I'm not going to trade for a guy who has like years left on his contract, but like a rental. Like Florida's trading that, or they're shopping that lefty who's got like a sub 1.5 ERA. Like that would be somebody that would intrigue me, but I'm not. And he's a rental, but I'm not giving up a whole lot for him. Secondly, though, to push back a little bit, the Astros have the eighth inning stud. He's just pitching in the seventh inning.
Abreu, yeah.
Yeah, they have the eighth inning stud. He's just lower on the pecking order, the leverage depth chart, than Ryan Pressly. What do you think of this? Cash or trash? 8807, expecting Jordan to go on a summer tear, mashing season soon.
I'd like to believe it, but I don't. I just feel like right now, Jordan is just kind of, I don't want to say in the doldrums, but I don't feel that same kind of, we've heard a couple times this season, he's close. He's getting out of it. He's figured something out, and yet he's right where he's at. I think that at a certain point we will see a power surge from him, and that he'll hit some more some home runs. I'm just not feeling it the same way this year. Maybe it's because of the overall of the team that I don't expect him to go like on this torrid clip.
Yeah, I actually think it's about to happen. Shocker, we disagree. I thought he had a good series against Seattle. He had five hits in that series, which, you know, easily the most of anybody in the series. He had that double yesterday, the ringing double. And Jordan, the demise of Jordan Alvarez has been greatly exaggerated. Jordan Alvarez is like in this little, like, what'd you call it? The
doldrums?
Like, yeah, he's in that, but he's hitting .273 with a .797 OPS. Yeah. So, like, his bad is still really good. I think the power is going to come. I don't think that a player like Jordan, who is such a good slugger, such a good all-around offensive player, I don't think he's just going to be, you know, powerless for the entire year. Plus, he has 9 home runs. It's not awful.
Yeah, I expect a home run surge. I'm just not expecting like this long torrid clip like we've been used to seeing. But I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think it's coming. I hope. Well, maybe it's just optimism, but I think it is coming. I said that 2 weeks ago though, and it didn't come.
Did you notice in Seattle? Excuse me, but did you notice in Seattle too? A lot of the guys, including Jordan, seemed like they barreled up baseballs they thought were getting out, and that ball just didn't carry there.
I think it's it was because it was the cold air.
Yeah.
It's a bigger park. It usually plays pretty big. Because I thought the ball that Jordan hit, I thought it had a chance.
I did too.
It went up like with 2/3 off the wall. And then who was it?
Singleton hit a couple during the series right with center. The bat flips and stuff where he thought they were gone, I think.
I mean, he'll bat flip a ground ball to short. But yeah, I think he thought that the one to center field was gone.
And someone hit one to left that I thought was going to get out.
It was Jiner. Jiner had one robbed. Remember?
Yep.
The left fielder, the donkey, he went over the wall and caught it.
But there was another one that I thought off the bat looked like it, and it was caught at the warning track.
Might have been
track.
Myers. Yeah. I think it was Myers. They were flying out to the warning track a lot. Yeah, I think Bregman even flew out to the warning track once in that series. 8807 balls fly in the summer. That is true. The weather gets hot, the balls tend to fly a little bit more. All right. Which starting pitcher are you eager to get back? Which starting pitcher are you wanting to get back immediately? 713-780-ESPN, Lance McCullers, Luis Garcia, which of the two? By the way, I don't feel great about this Jose Urquidy, Christian Javier stuff. I just saw a tweet. It's from about the Orioles. John Means, Tyler Wells, both will undergo elbow surgery, and it made me think of Javier Urquidy. Dana Brown told us Wednesday, 24 to 48 hours. They said they were seeking second opinion, seeing other doctors, which is always terrible news because it means you didn't like what the first doctor told you. I think we're going to get a Friday news dump at some point today, and I don't feel good about either Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy.
Yeah, I personally already had written off Urquidy because it just seemed to be too much, and we've been stretching it out for too long. I just feel like he's done for the year, that they're going to actually probably try and do something sooner rather than later, just finally take care of whatever's going on. But, yeah, I'm with you. The more that time goes by, I'm feeling like Javier's not going to be in this rotation for the rest of the season either.
Yeah, I feel it in my plums that it's not going to be good news. Hopefully it's like one of them is done for the year, right, and then like Javier's maybe like a month, and they can bring him back like after the All-Star break type of deal, but I don't feel good.
Well, and the problem is that we saw that with Urquidy, where it was just like, hey, give him some rest, get him back out there. It'll be fine. He'll work his way through, and then as close as he got, then it happened again. The last thing you want to do is screw around and elongate it a la the Lance McCullers situation, and then all of a sudden you've blown a whole lot of extra time before you actually have to do what was inevitable in the first place.
Yeah, I was super defiant on the Lance McCullers stuff too. I really was. And it's once that stuff starts barking at you, like usually it's going to take surgery to repair. Like this, Arcady's had this barking at him for 2 years. Yeah. Lance McCullers had it barking at him for a year and a half.
Well, like, you know how adamant I was too about the fact that Lance, they should have taken care of it right away, and that, you know, they were dragging their feet and they were looking for some miracle cure, or that it would just rest was going to miraculously cure the thing. And then here we are a year and a half later, and now 2 years later, and we wasted a whole lot of time getting to the inevitable.
I think somebody botched that, quite honestly. Whether it was like Lance McCullers, oh, I can pitch through this, or was the doctors like, oh yeah, you can pitch through this. Somebody had to have botched that for that to go as long as it did without, like, let's just get in there and operate. Like, somebody was defiant on that. Same thing with Urquidy. Like, once it pops up, like, you should probably just go ahead and do it. and try to get it over with and then hope that you stay healthy the rest of your career. That's why I'm not even hopeful with Javier. Like, if we hear that mm-hmm. Javier is going to be out 6 weeks with forearm tightness, you know what that tells me? It tells me that he's going to sit 6 weeks, he's going to get ramped up for about 2 weeks, and then in one of the rehab starts, he's going to leave the game and be done for the year.
Yeah, it's going to linger. It's going to come back at some point when you least need it. Urquidy had twice with the shoulder, twice with the forearm. You were dealing with something with Urquidy multiple times, and every time it doesn't end well, it just stretches out the issue. Again, and you're not sitting there atop your division kind of coasting going, oh, we can take some time. We can give him some time off. If it is going to be part of this season, just let us know cut and dried firmly. This is it. Let's do this so we can figure out who you got to deal with for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. 713-780-ESPN. But today's a refresh Twitter day because I feel like we got some bad news coming at some point. Hopefully I'm wrong. So which starter do you want back immediately? 4963, Garcia for sure. Lance been out so long, it's hard to see him back in the same kind of pitcher that he was. I just want to see what Lance McCullers has, says 5030. And then 2920, and Uncle Barney said it was Pena that got robbed, not Yiner. My bad.
Jeremy?
Yeah, Jeremy. Okay. Yeah, he was the one who got robbed on that home run. Yeah, I said Yiner, my fault. Maybe Yiner flew out to the track and Pena is the one who got robbed. Regardless, who is the starting pitcher that you want? Is it Lance? Is it Luis? Which of the two do you want back the most?
Can I get the Jeremy sidebar, which is they come back healthy?
I'm always healthy. Yeah, that's my sidebar. Yeah, they'd have to be healthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it's between the two of them and they're going to be healthy, then I want Lance because I believe that Lance has top three rotational stuff. I believe that when he is – it's never been about the quality of his stuff, the location, and his ability to pitch. It's been about the fact that he can't stay healthy. As good as Garcia it can be and has the potential to be, and I'm hearing his fastball is popping right now faster than it was previous to the injury and all that, that's all fine and dandy. I want a guy that's going to go out there and battle his ass off with top-quality stuff. And I know that the biggest thing is if Lance McCullers is healthy, that's the guy that can do that.
Yeah. I ran a poll on this the other day, and Luis Garcia won 65-35. And I think a big reason for that is kind of the frustration with Lance McCullers, sure. Knowing that he has – like, he's had more than one issue. He missed an entire year when you thought you were going to get him back. He's had – you know, setbacks more than once. Where Luis Garcia, okay, everybody gets Tommy John nowadays. He hasn't had multiple injuries. He has not had a setback. So I think that people have a more positive taste in their mouth with Luis Garcia. Now, if you want to go back a baseball card, Lance McCullers' numbers are better. Lance McCullers has been a better pitcher so far in his career than Luis Garcia has been in his career. Lance McCullers, 3.48 ERA. Luis Garcia, 3.61. It's marginal, but Lance is better. Lance McCullers has been an all-star. Not that I put a whole lot of stock in being an all-star, but he's also been a top-10 Cy Young guy. Luis Garcia has not been an all-star and has not been a top-10 Cy Young guy. Now, I did argue with San Antonio Tim on Twitter about this. That guy would argue with a brick wall. But so would I. Just because the back of baseball card shows you Lance McCullers, that's not to say that Luis Garcia wouldn't be better for the rest of this year, for the next 2 years, for the next 5 years, because Lance is a bit older. Lance McCullers, and we know this, like look at the normal average baseball trajectory for baseball players. They usually start to fade really around 27, 28, and it's a slow downward spiral for the rest of their career. I shouldn't have said spiral, but whatever. Lance McCullers is 30. Luis Garcia is younger, now 27, not far younger, but just like the average baseball player trajectory, Lance McCullers is trending down, whereas Luis Garcia is probably in the prime years of a player.
Yeah, I just look at it from the fact that when you're talking about a McCullers, a lot of, and you're right, it's the first thing that I thought about was when, if the vote was that heavily favored towards Garcia, it's because people are tired of being without Lance McCullers. They always want to go right at him in terms of he's overpaid, but he's really not. If he was healthy, again, he's probably getting the money he's getting because...
But he's not healthy.
Right. He'd get a lot more if he was healthy. He'd probably be $10 million more a year in terms of the money he's making. But they forget that part of the reasons why he probably went through some of the issues he went medically was because he gave you everything he had to give you something that you had never had before in that first World Series run and some of the games that he was able to pitch since. I think that's what's forgotten, that when he is at the top of his game, when he's healthy, that, you know, for spin rate and everything aside, he has what, three pitches that he can control, that he can use, that he can be one of the more dominant pitchers in baseball that can get guys out. He's a top of the rotation type guy. And that's what I think people that gets lost in all of the fair criticism of he can't stay healthy and you'd love to have him when he's never there. And that's why I think that if you got him back, especially if Javier might not be with you for the rest of the year or however long he's going to be out, If you can interject a Lance McCullers to the top of your rotation with the guys you already have, that's a great rotation.
75 says Louis. XX says Lance McCullers. Geo asks Lance McCullers or Hunter Brown in the bullpen. If Hunter Brown's continuing to pitch like he's pitching in his last five games, I'm not moving him to the bullpen. Now, at the same time, let me talk out of both sides of my mouth. I don't like the idea of moving a guy to the pen that is coming off major arm surgery. I think that they need a set schedule. I think they need their calendar in advance. I don't think that they could be a guy that, you know, you're calling to the bullpen every other day and you're like, hey, get hot. Oh, we're not going to use you. Oh, get hot again. Okay, you're pitching today and you're going to pitch tomorrow. That can be pretty risky. It can be pretty
taxing.
Taxing is the word I'm looking for. And if you're in the playoff race, like, you're doing everything you can to win. So how much are you factoring in taxing Lance and or Luis versus trying to win games? Like, it is going to be a difficult thing to do for Joe Espada to
manage. That's where your other point comes into play here, in the fact that with Lance, he's older, right? And I also think that factors into why you don't do it, because it's more taxing to be in the bullpen. You and I have had these conversations previously where I said, I just personally feel like it's tougher on your arm, especially, and it's even tougher when you've got a guy that's had multiple issues with your arm and your forearm and your elbow. And I think that from the standpoint of looking at where you have your best chances, you take a guy like Lance McCullers, I never want him in the bullpen. If you get him and you get him in the rotation, that's great too. You're right. I don't want Hunter Brown in the bullpen either if he's pitching the way he's pitching, because he's got dominant stuff.
Yeah.
But it would be a good problem to have to try and figure all this out. I just don't want Lance McCullers in my bullpen.
Yeah, you would have to. I mean, and we talk about these things on May 31st. Look how things change. Like, 2 weeks ago, we thought we were getting Urquidy back in the next week or two, and we thought Christian Javier was a fixture in the rotation. So we talk about all of these things that are 2 months out, and things change a lot in sports. Injuries happen a lot in sports, especially to pitchers. So, like, who's going to the bullpen? Hunter Brown, Lance McCullers. I couldn't promise you that Hunter Brown's going to be healthy. I can't promise you that Lance McCullers will make it back. So it's one of, like, it's fun to speculate. We're going to have those conversations with you, and it's great to have a drink and talk about this sort of stuff. At the same time, the realistic answer to this is I'll cross that bridge when I get to it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it goes across the board. This team has had a plethora of injuries. This team consistently is inconsistent in terms of a healthy lineup, a healthy pitching staff, guys that you know you can count on and go to, and that's sports. And you've been lucky to dodge a lot of these bullets in the past. This year, you've gotten your fair share and then some. And right now, you just have to go live a day at a time. You got to go game by game, day after day, before you start thinking about too far down the line and into the future, because you can't predict the injuries. You don't know when these two guys you're waiting on are going to come back, or even if they're going to be there because of what we've seen with Urquidy. So you just have to roll with what you got. You're thankful that Arrigetti is pitching better, Brown is pitching better, because like you said, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about both those guys struggling mightily, and that Arrigetti might be the first to be sent down. And now you're looking at two guys that have been picking up their end of the bargain at the back end of the pitching staff.
8807, Lance got shelled last we saw him. Forrest Whitley, crying emoji. What is the latest on Forrest Whitley? They tell us nothing with their minor leaguers. I saw that Jacob Melton, the Astros' best prospect, hasn't played like in over a week, and it's...
No injury, no anything.
They haven't said a single peep. It's so weird.
That's discomforting.
9664, Astros are roping a dope. Never heard it said that way. Astros are roping a dope. They will barely make in the playoffs and then beat everyone. It's kind of what they did in the COVID year until game 7 of the race. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. I'm going to give you, when we come back, and you guys can play along too, list of players / things I rather have play first base than Jose Abreu. And who would you rather have play first base than Jose Abreu? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Roping a dope, texture is back. So that is a quote from Muhammad Ali in the Rumble in the Jungle in Zaire versus Foreman. It was rope-a-dope. It wasn't roping the dope. I am aware of the rope-a-dope where Ali sits on the ropes, lets Foreman punch himself out, and then he beats Foreman in the later rounds. Rope-a-dope. Not roping a dope. Not that it matters, but yeah, I know the rope a dope. I never heard it roping a dope, but I like where your mind's at. It does sound fun. All right, here are things / players that I rather have play first base than Jose Abreu. John Singleton, Mauricio Dubon, Joey Loperfido, Victor Caratini, Yiner Diaz, whichever one's not catching, Trey Cabbage, Pete Alonso, Vlad Guerrero, Paul Goldschmidt, Jeff Bagwell, Brandon Belt, Willie Wagner, Billy Wagner, sack of potatoes, bucket of curveballs. What did I leave out? 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line 713-780-3776. What, who, Would you rather play first base than Jose Abreu?
Well, I mean, I think that if you're looking for just the stability offensively that you know you can rely on, then I would like to say I would like to see Dubon there. I would put Dubon there, and I think that it limits you in terms of the flexibility of the Swiss Army knife that can play multiple positions for you off the bench that it has become a very valuable tool. But I think that you've got a guy that won a gold glove a year ago that, you know, has good hands that I don't think would have a whole lot of an issue adjusting to fielding at first base, that has been one of the better hitters in baseball with runners in scoring position, and flat out a contact hitter that I like to have in the lineup more consistently if that's his spot than what you've gotten production-wise out of first base. So I'll start there.
Yeah, I like the idea of Richard Dubon playing first base. And people... Like, it's obviously I'm having a little bit of fun here. And 713-780-3776, it's a Friday. Let's have some fun. Dubon makes a pretty good platoon option with John Singleton. Like, Mauricio Dubon, relative to the average first baseman's probably over the course of a year, going to give you below average offense. So is John Singleton. But are they your best options? Probably. I would throw Loperfido into the mix there, too. Like, if we're talking serious, like, those guys are in the mix. The trade market's going to be interesting because I don't know if the Astros will be contending in July. I believe that they will be, but there's a very real possibility that they're not. So can you even talk about trade options on May 31st? John Heyman had an article today in the Post where they were talking about Mets players that could be traded, and there was a rival executive that told John Heyman that the Astros could be in on Pete Alonso. So, like, that'd be interesting as a rental? Yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty excited to have Pete Alonso in this lineup, even though he hasn't been, you know, crushing the baseball like he normally does. He's in the final year of his contract, so it's more than likely a rental. And then what does the trade package look like? I think it would be pretty costly, actually, for Pete Alonso.
That's a big question for me. When you mentioned two names that are very enticing to me, and I'm really intrigued by Vladdy Jr. just because of the fact that I think that he's a little younger. I think that he would fit in with this ball club very, very well. And it's intriguing, but I don't think that they have the asset packages that are going to be what the Mets and the Blue Jays are looking for when trying to get that deal done, even if they are in the last years of their deals.
Knowing what it would cost for both of them, I'm actually probably out on both of them. The Goldschmidt thing is interesting to me. Now, a lot of things have to happen for that to even be plausible. Like, somebody asked me on Twitter there was this Bleacher Report trade article. They asked me what I thought of the trade, and I said that I would trade for Paul Goldschmidt if they were to take Jose Abreu's contract, and I understand that you would probably have to pay a big chunk of that contract next year. You might have to pay all the salary. Goldschmidt's in the final year of his deal. He had a terrible start, but he's actually heating up. He's from Houston. Yeah. He went to the Woodlands High School. He went to Texas State, played his college ball. He was really good last year, and over the last 2 weeks, he's actually been really stinking good. And people are like, oh, you're losing your mind. You're trying to trade for another old veteran first baseman who can't hit. Well, he's been hitting better, and it's not like – I'm not replacing Singleton. I'm not replacing Dubon. I'm not replacing Loperfido. I'm replacing Abreu. Do I think Paul Goldschmidt is better than Jose Abreu? Yes.
Yes, hell yeah.
Would I trade Jose Abreu for Paul Goldschmidt and then throw in like a Forrest Whitley? Yeah, I would do that because I don't believe Forrest Whitley is a big league pitcher. Would I still pay some of Abreu's contract next year? I would. I would do that because I think Paul Goldschmidt makes this team better than Jose Abreu does. Jose Abreu walking out the door and retiring makes this team better. But Goldschmidt has hit a little bit, and Goldschmidt gives you an option that's right-handed against left-handed pitching if you refuse to play Mauricio Dubon consistently at first base. So, yes, I would do even that.
His deal's up at the end of the year?
Yeah, he's making like $24 million this year. So it's more than what you're paying Abreu, but it's like $5 million more, and it's halfway point of the year, so it's only $2.5 million more. And, look, things have to happen for that to happen.
Sure.
He probably needs to continue to be okay as an offensive player. If he regresses and he's awful again, then, yeah, I'm not trading for Goldschmidt. You need to be in the race in mid-July, and the Cardinals need to be out of the race in mid-July. So there's a lot of dominoes that need to fall into play before you even consider that. But if all of those things happen, and I had a trade offer on my table that said, you're trading Jose Abreu, Forrest Whitley, and a fringe flyer pitching prospect for Paul Goldschmidt, and then you need to pay 90% of Jose Abreu's contract in 2025, am I doing that? You're darn right I'm doing that.
Yeah, I think I would too. And I think that the other thing that you consider is the fact that, you know, with him getting older in his career, I think that he'd be intrigued about the fact that he could finish his career here, might get maybe willing to give you a sweetheart of a deal and not as much as he would command if he would, depending on what he would command on the open market, to kind of have that kind of lead into retirement, be back home, play in front of the home fans that I grew up watching, and still be on a good baseball team because he's been a hell of a hitter in his career that, you know, you obviously have your buyers beware because of the fact that you've been through what you've been with through Abreu. I believe Paul Goldschmidt is a hell of a hitter, and that it would be intriguing for me if you could get him to come here, and then, you know, you probably I honestly think he'd maybe give you a discount going forward if you needed him to cover up for Abreu for one more year when you're paying some of that money to the Cardinals.
If you were to make that trade and he was good, yeah. Yeah, I think you would too. And I think worst case scenario, he's a platoon option with John Singleton. Like Singleton against righties, Goldschmidt against lefties. Best case scenario, he turns into who he was last year or who he's been over the last 2 weeks, and you have a formidable middle of the order hitter playing first base again. How exciting does that sound?
And put him in a lineup where if he sees better pitching too, because the Cardinals have been scuffling too for the start of the year. Yeah. But if you put him in a lineup that's more potent, he might see better pitches. That might help to get him going in the right direction.
Not that you would put him between Tucker and Yordan, but if you did, that's a more optimal spot to hit than what he's seeing right now. 713-780-ESPN. Who, what would you rather see at first base for the Astros than Jose Abreu? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jose from the South Side. Maybe it's Jose Abreu. Uh-oh. South Side of Chicago. Jose, what's up?
Nah, I promise it's not Chicago.
My bad.
What's up, man?
No, nothing much. Has anybody said Yulia already or not? Because I mean, at this point, I would have just given a contract to Yuli for like a 2-year deal and just be whatever it is. Because at this point, like the Abreu situation is just like a big headache. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Jose Abreu from the South Side of Chicago. Look, would I rather see Yuli at first base than Jose Abreu? Yeah. Yeah, I would. Is Yuli Gurriel a realistic first base option in Major League Baseball anymore?
No.
No. No. But is he a more realistic first base option in baseball if it weren't for the contracts than Jose Abreu? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and, there he is.
And you even get the extra X factor of appeasing everybody that has been a massive Yuli fan, never wanted to see him leave, and they're probably going to believe that he's going to go back to Gold Glove Yuli, top 10 hitting Yuli, and that's not realistic. Was he AAA with the Braves?
Yeah, he means AAA with the Braves, yes. Yeah. So nobody else is giving him a job in the bigs either. He's hitting .258 in Gwinnett, I think is where their AAA's at. Mm-hmm. 7.06 OPS, but I mean, these are minor league numbers. I'd rather play Loperfido than Gurriel. But again, like the question is, who would you rather see at first base than Jose Abreu? Would Yuli Gurriel be on this laundry list that is probably 100 names deep? Yeah. I'd rather see, and you know what else you're getting? Like if, I mean, Abreu, you're going to have to pay off the contract, so the finances really don't matter here. But at least you're getting a little bit of defense.
Oh, no doubt. I was going to say, yeah, he is. He can play some defense at first. I think he's a upper echelon pro baseball hitter. I mean, he's got a good command of the strike zone. When he's right, he's really right. And again, as he gets older, you're not going to expect as much. He's not going to be the same kind of player. I think he would really fit it for the rest of this season, at the very least, with this team. And I'd take him over Jose Abreu in a heartbeat.
What would you rather see at first base than Jose Abreu for the Astros? Fortunately, we don't have this problem today because he's sitting the bench. But who is on that list for you? 713-780-3776. It's the Bs on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. All right, who are names, things that you rather see play first base than Jose Abreu? 713-780-ESPN. Goldschmidt's probably the most realistic, says 6941. Cardinals do need to fall out of the race because the Cardinals are like closer to playoff positioning than you are. So, like, that does need to happen, although I don't think that it's that promising for the Cardinals. A Jabba the Hutt at first base. I'm not a Star Wars guy. You're not a Star Wars guy. No, you're a Star Wars guy, right, Brian? You like Star Wars? Yeah. Sorry to stereotype.
No,
like that.
I mean, I like it a little bit. I wouldn't call myself a Star Wars.
Is Jabba the Hutt?
But you're a sci-fi guy.
No, not really.
Really?
No.
Do you know anything about Brian?
Yeah, I do. But I'm saying, what was the one that we were doing with the Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever, and you had the
mug?
That's
more comic, though.
Yeah,
right?
That's more comic. I know we're drawing thin lines here, but that's more comic than sci-fi. I get what you're saying. It's sci-fi, but nerds like us would classify it as comic, not sci-fi.
Yeah, know your differences. But Jabba the Hutt's, what, like 1 foot tall?
Jabba the Hutt's massive.
Jabba the Hutt's
it's like
a big fat.
It's like
blob,
the big
right?
fat blob thing.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Jabba the Hutt. What is the one I'm thinking about?
I have no idea. 1 foot tall. Are you talking about like Baby Yoda?
Maybe
no,
so.
What
maybe
that's, that's completely different.
I don't
what
do
the
Star
other
Wars.
Ones? The Jabberwockies or something. The ones that had just
Jawas.
Little,
Jawas. Yeah.
Is he 1 foot tall?
No, they were smaller. With
they're
just
small. They're not
eyes.
1 foot tall. They're maybe like 2 feet, 3 feet.
Yeah. So bad target at first base. Doesn't seem like they would have tremendous. You know,
Jawas? No, they don't have any.
Like, they were stretching out to fill the ground, like a throw to first base. Probably not great.
Oh, I would say if you put Jabba the Hutt at first base, you're going to get lots of interference calls because he can't move off the base big. When someone runs tough. Into him.
8494 says, I'd rather see Yordan. Okay, that's not a bad one. Or Zach Greinke. I think Zach Greinke. Okay, this is going to sound.
Better
I think
hitter?
Both. I think Zach Greinke would be a better hitter and a better defender. Greinke was a Gold Glove defender.
Yeah, and
he's more athletic than Jose Abreu. I think he would be a better defender. And yes, I do think he would hit the ball better than Abreu currently is.
He was a better hitter in his career than Abreu is now.
Easily. He was a pretty damn good hitter in his career.
Now, he is, you know, older now than he was. But at the same time, I think Greinke would be better at both sides of the baseball than Jose Abreu. 1098 says Glenn Davis. That's a blast from the past. Or Julian Morales.
First base matters.
Julian Morales.
Oh.
Yeah, first base matters in the old Glenn Davis point of view. Julian Morales might be, I mean, Julian Morales is a jack of all trades. She's a Julia of all trades. She can sit in the booth, do a little play-by-play, better than the gal from Oakland who had a doozy of a call yesterday. 5199, I'd rather see Yuli batting left-handed wearing a blindfold at this point. Pretty sure he'd still hit over 100. I think he would. I think Yuli would hit 100. Not maybe not blindfolded, but
no
left-handed.
No one said Frank Thomas with his cybergenics or whatever?
No, I don't think anybody said that with his cybergenics. No.
I mean, Nugenics?
Nugenics, there you go.
So you can find cybergenics on the internet. I'd rather see Chris Pratt playing Scott Hattieburg from the movie Moneyball than Jose Abreu. Who was the Cedric the Entertainer who played the lefty? Was it Mr. 3000?
He was a brewer.
He was a brewer, and like they were playing the Astros in like I think the game that he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I believe so, yeah.
I'd rather see him play first base. It'd be entertaining. Coach up Yiner to play first. I think that that's like a realistic option. I don't think it's a bad option at all, especially if Caratini's a better defender. He is. You could get Yuli for a dollar in an envelope, Guerrero all the way.
Wasn't it Bernie Mac that was Mr. 3000?
Bernie Mac. I got him confused. That's my bad. It's kind of racist of me. My bad. Yeah, Bernie the Mac. No, Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac no longer with us?
He died.
Bernie Mac no longer with us?
Yeah, like a decade ago.
Yeah, I don't know if it was 10 years, but I know
I'll look
no
it up.
With
it's been a while.
I thought that movie was less than 10 years old. I bet Max Verstappen could be a decent first baseman. Yeah, I don't know about that.
What about Michael Schumacher?
Well, I think Schumacher's older. Is Schumacher still with us?
I don't know.
I don't know about the old F1. I mean, you brought him up. You should know.
No, I don't. I did it as a rebuttal to the person that always brings up
Tim
F1.
Tebow over Abreu.
Bernie Mac died in 2008, by the way.
Oh, that's
so
that
I was, long
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, I knew it was over 10 years.
What
I don't
did
know.
He die of?
I think, let me look it up. I don't know exactly.
I think Tim Tebow would give you a better offensive stat line than Jose Abreu has. His slash line, if Tim Tebow had the same amount of at-bats as Jose Abreu this year, he would have a better slash line than Jose Abreu.
Probably right.
Tim Tebow, former minor league all-star.
For the Mets, right?
And all-star.
Oh,
he's okay. Former minor league all-star. He's actually better in baseball than I thought he'd be. Ryan Pressly can't be worse at first, and then he won't have to pitch.
Wow.
It's kind of messed up to Ryan Pressly.
Cardiac arrest from Bernie Mac.
Ooh, that's not good. Too many hits in his career. Texas Beer Guy says Spider-Man. I'd rather have Spider-Man playing first base. Peter Dinklage. Is this the is this Game of Thrones?
Peter Dinklage is the, what's the PC way to say it? The short person actor that's in Game of Thrones?
Yeah, he's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got the goatee in Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh.
He's in another movie that I watched.
Oh, he's in a lot
really
of movies
good.
And TV shows. Yeah,
yeah, but he was like in one that was like nominated. I think he won an Oscar for it, like Best Supporting Actor, maybe.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
I think it was the Billboard movie.
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about? The billboard around...
Oh, yeah, three billboards outside of whatever, Missouri?
Yeah.
Was he... I don't remember him being
I'm
in that.
I'm pretty sure he was in that. I think he took the mom on a date.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember there was another actor that I believe did win a Best Supporting Actor, whose name also is...
Ebbing, Missouri.
So we sound like old men right now.
Yeah, he's in it.
Oh, he is in it. Okay.
Yeah, he is in it.
I forgot about
billboards.
Him. I don't remember who I'm thinking of. There was another actor in that movie... That had kind of a breakout role, and I thought won an award for it. Maybe he didn't.
Bobby Dynamite over Jose Abreu.
The trainer.
The train conductor. He'd be pretty good. I don't think the train... Is the train moving again? I know it was like...
Stuck?
It was out of order for a little while, yeah.
Maybe it coincides with the offense.
Maybe so. Bagwell. This guy says Roger Dorn over Abreu, and Dorn played
third
base. Yeah, but Dorn's going to take a pitch for you. Dorn's going to get on... Dorn will give you a hard 90. He'll give you a hard 90, Roger Dorn will.
Would you sign up for Darryl Ward at first base?
Yeah, I love Darryl Ward.
I did too.
I love
him. Except
for when he played left field. I didn't love that.
Did he hit the one in Pittsburgh in the water?
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
By the way, Bernie Mac, they said, died of sarcoidosis.
What is that?
An inflammatory disease that attacks multiple organs, particularly the lungs and nymphodes, and disproportionately affects African Americans. Complications with the disease was cause of death.
Thank you for doing that.
That's
what it says. And then it says cardiac arrest.
It doesn't say that on the universityofillinois.edu hospital release.
I love how that was like 7 minutes ago. We felt the need to bring it back up.
Because I did. So what?
I don't understand why you did. Colt fan SpongeBob to play first base. Trade Maldi for Abreu. That's a thing that I kicked around the other day, actually.
Could you get that?
You'd have to pay Abreu's salary. Yeah. Hmm. If you paid 95, probably more. If you paid 99% of Jose Abreu's contract, I think they would do that for you.
Does that do more harm than good, though?
I think you would force Maldonado to retire and be a coach.
Okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't,
I wouldn't
be on
want
the 26.
Him on the, on the active
He would also be in a step above Joe Espada in the dugout?
Yeah, he would. He might fire Espada.
I was
going to
say, that's what you might do.
Yeah. Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking did die, right?
Yeah, recently? He's dead.
Yeah, he's no longer with us. Michael Jordan playing first base, that'd be a little bit more entertaining, I think, as well. All right, that's enough. That's enough depression for Chris Carter, says Laggy. That's not a bad one. Chris Carter would probably still give you 35 home runs and strike out 250 times. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. So the Texans are in OTAs. They were there yesterday. Players talked. Coordinators talked. They said football things about football players and how great they are. There were some tweets from OTAs yesterday that I want to see if you guys put any stock in any of this. 713-780-ESPN. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.